Mesechta Skitin, Daf Nun Aleph, 13 lines from the bottom of Daf Nun on Beis, and the Gemara quotes the next two takanas that are brought in our Mishnah on Daf Mem Ches on Beis, Mipnei Tikkun Olam. Number one, Eimatzin Lachilus Peiris L'Shvach Kakaris, if Shimon stole the field of Reuven and sold the field to Levi for $100,000, and Shimon also guarantees the sale to Levi in the Shtar Mechira, where he accepts responsibility if Levi loses this field, which is considered as a Milva Bishtar, and Levi then spends $1,000 and plants two in that field, and he also spends $10,000 to improve the property, and the property is now valued at $150,000, and Reuven then finds out that Shimon committed this fraud, and Reuven goes to Bezin, who evicts Levi off of Reuven's field. So certainly Shimon, who guaranteed his field, will be responsible to pay the $100,000 back to Levi, and his nechasim are meshubah to that chayiv, as it was considered like a milvah b'shtar, and therefore if Shimon sold any fields in the interim, Levi would be able to go and take that field from the lekuchais. And certainly as the din is, by anyone that's yoyer l'teich stech and improves it, that Reuven will have to pay Levi for the $1,000 of expenses that Levi spent to plant this tefuah. However, certainly Reuven could take those peiros because they grew in his field, and therefore our Mishnah teaches us that although Shimon also has to pay Levi for his loss of the peiros that grew and for the shvach hakayis, which refers to the $50,000 of value that Levi created in his field and lost, however, these amounts will only be able to be collected from the bnei chayin of Shimon and not from the chasim shibodim, and he can't take it from any of the lekuchais of Shimon. And the second takana that the Mishnah brought is Eim Mitzin L'mazin Ishev Abonis Min Chasim Meshubadim, that although there is a Tanai Ksuba and Takanas Chachamim that a husband promises to support his wife after he dies Ad Shetin Nospin L'gavrin, and to support her daughters until they are married or until they become Begeres, however the Mishnah teaches us Mepleit Tekin Olam, they can only collect from Nechasim Bnei Chayin and not from Min Chasim Meshubadim. And our Gemara begins Eim Mitzin L'achilos Peiros L'shvach HaKois, and the Gemara asks my time, but why is that? Amar Ula Mish Lakish, and Ula says in the name of Shlokish, Lefish ink suvan, as even if they're written in a shtar, however, it's not considered as if they're written, and as Rashi explains, because haperis halalu kishenichtu shtar mechiris hakaka gzula adayin lehayu, that since these peiros weren't around when this kaka was stolen and was sold, v'lekos b'shtar l'pleini mocha kaka pleini l'pleini b'chrayis hilkuk tumei hakaka have a gemil b'shtar lachzachiris halav. So therefore, the actual value of the kaka is like a mil b'shtar, and therefore you collect that from nechos b'shabadim, as we explained in Akdama, avod mei peiros have a gemil v'aper v'letarfim m'shar. And Rashi clearly states that even if they wrote into the Shtar Mechira that any peiros which will eventually come, there should also be a schayvus to pay that back, that is not going to be considered a milvah b'shtar since they're not ba'ilum at this point. And Rashi explains that time of the milvah b'shtar tough from mishtabdi mishum islay kol. The whole reason when there's a shtar you collect from mishubodim is because there's a kol, l'hak siva less la kol, and even though there is a ksiva, but there is no kol and doesn't create a kol, as the bishlay malakak enough a kol pleini machal pleini v'kibul v'achrayis, avla peiros Ina dying b'shas mechira ain't kol yotzei, that since the payers are not around at the time of mechira, therefore a kol is not created that the seller accepted the responsibility to protect the buyer for payers as well. And the Gemara continues Amli Rabba Abba l'Ula, so Rabba Abba responds to Ula for mazan ishav abonis. Then the Mishnah we also mentioned mazan ishav abonis the chamandich sividami, that since a husband promises his wife that if I die that I will support you and I will support your daughters, and it's a tnai bezin, so therefore it's considered as if it's written even though it's not actually written in the ksuba. And we still said that you can't collect it from the Chasim Meshubadim, and even though L'chayr is a call, and as Rashi brings down, the Thad, as we looked in the Mishnah, Mesechtes Ksubis, L'chasla b'nin Nukfin, you have L'chayr Minoi, V'ateh Yosef V'vesi, Chayiv, you're still Chayiv, Shutnai Bezin. And the Gemara answers, Amalei, Se'ulu, response to Abba, that Chasim Meikor, Hachi Iskun, that in the Chanami, even though it's a Tnai Bezin, and it's considered as if it's written in the Ksuba, and certainly the husband's estate is going to be Chayiv to the wife and to the daughters, even though they actually did not write in the ksuba. However, originally, when Bezdin was misakin that there should be this Tanai Bezdin, they made a takana in this fashion, that ksuvan hein eitzo b'nei chayim, ve'ing ksuvan hein eitzo m'shubadim, that we consider it's written, and you have to pay this chayiv, and certainly Reuven's wife and her daughters can collect from the zaynis from the b'nei chayim. However, the original takana specified that it's not considered as if it's written, b'nei gea collecting from m'shubadim. And Rashi explains that the Rabbanan felt that this made a lot of sense, l'fisha'in l'cha adam, writes l'ikach sadam, as otherwise people won't want to buy sadeis from their friend if he knows that this person's wife or his daughters could eventually come and collect from this asset, and therefore they actually besaken that you can't collect from mishubadim. And the Gemara continues with a repeat of what we just said, just with different amarayim. And so said Rab Asi, that the reason why we're not mitzin lachilus peiros l'shvach hakayis min chasim mishubadim is because even if they're written into a shtar Pira. However, we consider it as if it's not written, since the Peiris and the Shvacha Kleis were not Ba'ilam at the time that the Shtar Mechir was written, and therefore a Kleil was not created, as we explained before, in the name of Ula, in the name of Reish Lakish. And the Gemara continues with the same question. And still we say that you can't collect from the Chasim and Shabbatim, even though L'chaira, there was a creation of a Kleil. On that, the Gemara answers that Amalei, Rabbi Asi responds back to Rabbi Zeira, Meikar HaChiskun, this was way that the original Takonat Chacham was that Ksuvenein Eitzu B'nei Chayrin, that the Takana of Mazen Isha and Bonis were considered written B'nei Gei B'nei Chayrin, then Ksuvenein Eitzu B'nei Shabbatim, but because of Tikkun Olam, the Chacham said that for Mazen Isha V'abonis, you can't go and collect B'nei Chasim and Shabbatim. And the Gemara continues, Rabbi Chanina states that the reason why the Mishnah stated that Imatzin Lachilas Peiris L'Shvach HaKais B'nei Chasim and Shabbatim L'Fish Ein Ksuven, as since it's not a set specified amount of money that is owed, therefore when the Lekuchas buy a Sada from the Meichah, they aren't in a position to protect themselves and to know what the potential downside is. And as the Taisus Rid states, as if the Lekeh could know how much the Meichah potentially could owe someone, so then they could say, I'm only going to buy enough Kaka where I still know that the Meichah still has B'nei Chayrin that could cover any potential loss. However, since it's impossible for them to verify exactly how much this Meichah could owe, either for Paris or Shvach HaKais, or from Mazen and Yishuvah Bonais, therefore we couldn't be mechayiv that the Lekucha should be responsible for any of these payments, and that's why you can't collect these items, Mimu Shabbatim. And the Gemara continues, Yibayilu, we ask the following Shaila, L'Rab Chanina, according to Rab Chanina, that just said that the reason why you can't collect L'Achilus Paris or Shvach HaKais is L'Fish Ink Tzuvin, is the only way that Rab Chanina would say that it could be Goyim Mishabbatim, is if the item would be Katsuv, and it would also be written in a star. And we continue, Adafnun Aleph and Aleph, Oidum Ktsuvin, B'Afa Pishin Ktsuvin, or is Rab Chanina telling us that as long as something is a set amount, even if it's not written in document, the din would be that you could still be Goyim Mishabbatim. And Rashi at the top of the Amid states, for Islay, and according to Rab Chanina, would then come out, the Milva Peh, Shiktsuva, Telfim Mishabdi, that even if you have a Milva Peh, but the monetary amount that you'd be Chayiv for that Milva Peh would be a set amount, then you'll be able to be tired of that, and you'll be able to collect from Mishabbatim. And Ayin and Taisis, they yes, Rashi, they inirid, behead the Tanam Perakat Pashit, that we know there's a Mishnah in Mesechka Pashit, in Barbasa, and Kuv Ayin Him and Alf, the Goyim Nechas B'nei Chayin, that certainly a Milva Peh can only be collected from Nechas B'nei Chayin, and certainly they can't be collected from Nechas B'nei Shabbatim. Therefore, Taisis brings from Rabbi Yonatam that over here we're talking about a case where it wasn't a Milva, but B'negeya other dinim. So, for example, where someone promises to support their daughter for 5 years, so since that's a set share, even though it was done as a Milva Peh, still the daughter could go and collect the 5 years of support from Nechas B'nei Shabbatim. And Taisis explains because that's different than a Milva Peh, as a standard Milva Peh can't be collected from Mishabbatim, Mishum Demandi Yazif, Bitsini Yazif, if someone's borrowing money and they specifically do it al peh, therefore we see that they don't want anyone to know about it, and therefore they're going to borrow it Bitsina, Al Sham Mili Havikamecha, but by any other case, it's considered like a Mechira, and we know Amechas Del Be'edim, Goyim Nechasim Mishabbatim, as anyone that does a sale, they do so with a Hesia, and they don't mind that people speak about the fact that they were involved in a transaction, and therefore certainly a Kohl will go out. And I, in the last Taisis on Daf Nun Beis, where Taisis points out, Rab Chanina Ketuv Chasun Bayi, that the Gemara's question was only B'negei Rab Chanina, Arish Lakish Lami Bayi Lei, on Arish Lakish that said that the reason for the Mishnah is the Fishen Ketuvin, that they're not written in the Shtar, and it's not considered that they were written in the Shtar, I Ketuv Chasun Bayi Oilav, over there certainly we don't have the Shaila, if he actually means that you have to have it written, and also has to be Ketuv, and Taisis doesn't explain exactly why we wouldn't have the Shaila according to Ula. However, the Taisis Rush says that since Ula didn't say anything, and he came first, therefore we see that he only meant that it has to be written. However, with the Gei Rab Chanina, we could have it said that maybe when he said Lefisha Ink Tzuvin, he's coming to add on to the words of Ula, that even though Ula said the name of Shlokish, Lefein She Ink Tzuvin, I'm adding in that not only do you need a Ksiva, but you also have to have that the actual item was Kotzuv, and it was a set and a very specified and verifiable amount. And the Gemara continues, Tashma, let us bring a Raya from a member of Chanina himself, to Itma, as we learned in Maseches Ksubas, Misha Mes, if Reuven dies, V'niach Shtei Banei Soben, and he leaves over two daughters as well as a son, and therefore, of course, the son is Yerush, his father, and he gets all the money of his father and all the assets. However, of course, based on Tanai Ksuba, he has to pay for the mezuinus of these two daughters, and he also has to give them 10% of the assets as in the dunya, or based on the previous history of a father, potentially he would have to give even more than that. And V'kadma Rishayna V'not L'Isin Nechasim, and the first daughter got married, and therefore she received 10% of Nechasim as in the dunya, V'lay Spika Shnei Ligvais, and then the second daughter did not yet get married, and therefore she never collected her 10%. 10% of the nechasim as in the dunya, achim mesa ben. And ultimately, the son died before he had any family and he didn't have any children, and therefore these daughters now will be yerush their brother. And Amar Rabbi Yechon stated, Shnia Vitra, the second daughter, will be meichel that 10% of the nechasim for her dunya, because at this point she will be receiving 50% of all the assets, and therefore, as Rashi says, if the isa nechasim shela, she loses out the 10% of dunya for lo yamin and tigbi isa nechasim bereisha, and we don't say that she should first collect 10% of the nechasim as in the dunya, and then she and her sister should split the rest of the assets equally. And Rashi explains the time of the kinu isa nechasim, that the reason why the rabbanu misakin that a woman receives 10% of the nechasim as in the dunya is in order that these daughters should be able to get married and they should be able to have an adunya. But v'hai ikatvei, this woman has even more than that, and therefore the two women now split all of the assets equally. And Amalei Rav Chanina, so Rav Chanina responds back to Rabbi Yechon that I disagree with you, and I hold that the second one would still get the 10%, and only after the second daughter receives the 10% for an adunya would they go and split the rest of the assets equally. And Rav Chanina explains why he argues in Rabbi Yechon, because he says G'dayla Mizuamru, we even said a greater chiddush than this, as we know that if the brother would still be alive and he sold any of the nechasim, that even though b'negei mezaynis would not be mitzil mezaynis from nechasim shubadim, but the din is that for the 10% in dunya, this second woman would be able to go and collect this amount from lekuchais va'at amrit shnei vitra. And how could you say that the second daughter will be mevata and she'll give up on the 10% of the dunya if she could go and collect from lekuchais? Then certainly she could collect from b'nei chayrin that are right here and right in front of her, and therefore she collects the 10% in the dunya first, and only after she has the catch-up of her 10% in the dunya, then she and her sister would split the rest of the Yerusha evenly. And the Gemara now continues to bring a raya to the second side of our Shaila, that Rav Chanina holds that all you need in order to be tired from Mishubadim is Ketsuvin, and even if it's not written, you could still go and collect from Mishubadim. And the raya is, V'apanasa to make his kaitzei, the 10% that is going to her for the dunya is something which is a set amount, as it's 10% of all of the father's assets, and Michtav Kloy Ksiva, and we know that it's not written in the document, and Rav Chanina specifies that b'negei panasa you could take from nechasim mishubadim, and we clearly see that Rav Chanina holds that the main requirement is mekas kaitei, and there is no further requirement for ksiva. And the Gemara answers shani panasa kimin disla kala kaman ksiva dami that ina chenami panasa is not necessarily written in the document, but since there's a call that when the father dies that all his daughters will receive a 10% in the dunya, and therefore it's considered as if it's written, and you have no raya from this case to the din of Rav Chanina. And it's possible Rav Chanina generally would hold that in order to collect from nechasim mishubadim, something has to be ketsuvim, and it also has to be ketsuvim, and it has to be written in a document. And the Gemara continues, Mas Rav Huna bar Manoach, Rav Huna bar Manoach asked the following question, which will ultimately be a question on Ula, that Ula said before, any item which is owed to someone that is not written in the shtar cannot be collected from nechasim mishubadim. Rav Huna bar Manoach will ask a question from Mishnah Maseches Ksubis, which begins by discussing a case where Reuven gets married to Rachel, and he promises Rachel to give 5 years of support to Rachel's daughter from a previous marriage, and let's call her Dina. And for example, 1 year later, Reuven divorces Rachel, and Rachel gets married to Shimon, and Shimon also promises to support Dina for 5 years. And certainly, Dina doesn't need food from both Reuven and Shimon, and therefore, the Mishnah over there says, Echad zana ve'echad nasla d'mei mezoinis, that Dina can't collect mezoinis from one of these husbands, and from one of them, she collects the value for the mezoinis. And the Mishnah continues, Mesu, if both Reuven and Shimon die within that 5 year period and they still owe money to Dina, so but they say in the Zaynus bin Chas b'nei Chayrin, so Reuven and Shimon's own daughters from Rachel, definitely they would only be able to get the Mezaynus from the Chas b'nei Chayrin, as that came in the Tnai Ksuba, and as our Mishnah stated, Eimatzin l'mazin isha v'abonis min Chas mishubadim, and therefore they only collect from b'nei Chayrin, v'hi nizaynus min Chas mishubadim. However, Dina can still collect from the Chas mishubadim mipnei she kibalas chayiv, as she is owed this money not based on the Tnai Ksuba, but based on the fact that she's a balas chayiv, and she's owed the food for 5 years from both Reuben and Shimon. And Rav Huna bar Manoach's question on Ula is that how can you say that the only way they collect from nechasim mishubadim is if there was actually a shtar, if in this case there is no shtar, and it must be that the reason why you're able to collect from nechasim mishubadim is because it was actually cuts, and Dina was owed a set and verifiable amount, and therefore the lekuchas could protect themselves, and that's why Dina could collect from nechasim mishubadim. And keep in mind that although the Gemara is asking this as a question to Ula, this would also be a raya to the shaila that I had regarding Rav Chanina, and we see from this Mishnah that the only requirement in order to be goyim in nechasim mishubadim is only that something should be a set amount and it should be katzuv, and it doesn't have to necessarily be written. And the Gemara answers that this is not a question on Ula, and also is not a raya as to the shita Rav Chanina, because Hachamayin Askinan, in this Mishnah, we're talking about a case, Bishakonim Yadai, where both Reuven and Shimon made a kinyan with Rachel, and they promised to support her daughter Dina for 5 years. And therefore, as Rashi says, Bistam kinyan l'ksivayimid, and therefore it was considered as if it was written in the shtar, and therefore, according to Ula, it makes sense why you could collect from the Chasim Shabbatim, and according to Rav Chanina, it's possible that the only way it could be given in the Chasim Shabbatim is number one, it has to be ketuvin, and number two, it has to be written. And the Gemara states, Ihachi banis nami, if you're telling me that the case b'negei Dina is weird, they had a kinyan, so l'chayr b'negei their joint daughters, it must be that there was a kinyan as well, as l'chayr, all the details of the Mishnah should be the same. And the Gemara answers that not necessarily is that the case, b'shekana l'zu, v'loi kana l'zu, that even though Reuven and Shimon made a kinyan with Rachel regarding their responsibility to support her daughter Dina for 5 years, however, they did not make a kinyan with her to support their joint daughters. And the Gemara asks, my Pascha, why would the Tana give a case where they made a kinyan b'negei Dina, but they didn't make a kinyan b'negei their joint daughters? And as Rashi says, my daiti the Tana, v'chi paskal milse the stam man the pasakachi kana miyadi l'bas ishtai v'loi kana l'bitai, l'chari, it doesn't make sense that he would make a kinyan for one and not for the other. And the Gemara responds that it actually does make sense, as bas ishtai d'havoi b'shas kinyan mahanilah kinyan, that since Dina was already born at that point, so therefore they made a kinyan in order to become responsible to support Rachel's daughter Dina. However, bitai, the daughter of Reuven and Rachel, or the daughter of Shimon and Rachel, the loy avoy b'shas kinyan, that wasn't there at the time that they got married, loy mahanilah kinyan, then a kinyan would not actually work, and that's why the Mishnah understood that we're talking about a case b'shekana miyadai b'negei Dina, but we're not talking about a case of b'shekana miyadai when Reuven took responsibility to give mizaynis to this child that he and Rachel would eventually have. And the same applies to Shimon, that Shimon would not make a kinyan with Rachel for a potential child that they would have together. And therefore, the case of the Mishnah really does make sense. And the Gemara asks, Milay Eskinin, Davod Tabay B'shas Kinyan, Vehechi Dami, Degar Sheva Hadra, that who said we're talking about a case where their joint daughter, meaning Reuven's daughter with Rachel and Shimon's daughter with Rachel, were not around and were not yet born at the time that Reuven and Rachel got married, for example, and when Shimon and Rachel got married, but potentially the case could have been where Rachel previously had a child, Dina, with another man, and then Reuven married Rachel, and they had a child, and let's call her Bilhah, and then Reuven divorced Rachel, and then Reuven went ahead and remarried Rachel, and at the time that he remarried her for the second time, he actually made a tzai with her, and he promised to support her daughter, Dina, for 5 years, and at that time, their joint daughter, Bilhah, was already alive, and therefore, when he promised to support Bilhah, he also could have made a kinyan, and then after this point, Reuven divorced Rachel once again, and she went ahead and got married to Shimon, and they had a child, let's call her Zilpah, and then Shimon divorced Rachel, and then he remarried Rachel, and at the point that he remarried her, he promised to support her daughter Dina for 5 years, and he also promised to support their joint daughter, and once again, if Shimon was Kanu Miyadai b'negei Dina, then l'chayu, he should have been Kanu Miyadai b'negei Zilpah, who was already alive. And even though, of course, these cases are very far-fetched, however, Rashi says, the Mastisin Stomatran, that since our Mishnah gave us a very generic case, so therefore it's possible that this was the case as well, therefore, how could you give a teretz that the case b'negei Dina is b'shekana miyadai and the case b'negei their other children is talking about without a kinyan? And based on this question, the Gemara explains, Albita de b'tai bezin ka'achal lay mahanla kinyan. Since a daughter receives mezainis based on the b'tai bezin, therefore a kinyan will not work. However, bas ishtay d'la b'tai bezin ka'achal, since the daughter of his wife, Dina, will not receive mezainis aside from the fact that they made their own t'nai and not based on the t'nai bezin, so mahanla kinyan, therefore a kinyan does work. And that's why Reuven and Shimon only made a kinyan b'negei their responsibility to Dina, and they did not make a kinyan b'negei their responsibility to give mizaynis to their daughters Bilhah and Zilpah. And the Gemara continues and asks, v'chimig v'gara, that how can you say that based on the fact that Reuven and Shimon have responsibility to support their daughters Bilhah and Zilpah, therefore a kinyan would not work? But l'chayra, just because there's a t'nai bezin, why would that make it worse? And why would a kinyan not work? And finally, the Gemara explains, al bita kivin b'tnai bezin ka'achla ematzori atfasa, and actually because Reuven and Shimon have responsibility to support their daughters Bilhah and Zilpah from a t'nai bezin, therefore, even though it was kana miyadai, these daughters Bilhah and Zilpah cannot collect minchas mishabadim. We have to be chayshish that maybe since Reuven and Shimon knew what a strong obligation it was, maybe Reuven and Shimon left a pile of money with Rachel in order to take care of this obligation and make sure that their joint daughters Bilhah and Zilpah had what to eat. However, since the responsibility to Dina is only based on their own t'nai that they promised to support her for 5 years, so we're not chayshish that sorry atvisa, and therefore, because they were kana miyadai, even Ula would agree that Dina can collect minchas mishabadim. And the Gemara continues, Tashma, and the Pashas, the Gemara will bring a raya from a brisa, that the reason that the Mishnah stated, Ein Meitzin L'Achilas Pirus L'Shvach HaKais Minchas Mishabadim, is not like Ula, because there was no Ksiva, and it's not like Rav Chanina, because there was no Ketzitza. The brisa states, Rab Nasan states, Emesai b'zman shekodim mechel shalshenu l'shvachay shalrishayin, that the only time that we said, Emesil l'achilus peyus l'shvach ha-kais, minuchas m'shabodim, is only in a case where the second sale occurred prior to the first person that bought this kaka actually created the shvach. Avakodim shvachay shalrishayin l'mechel shalsheni, however, the shvach of the first person that bought this field occurred prior to the mekach of the second person, then the first buyer will be able to collect for his peyus as well as shvach ha-kais from the chasm shabodim. And let us explain this clearer. In the case that we mentioned in the Mishnah, if Shimon stole field A from Reuven and sold field A to Levi, and Shimon also subsequently sold another one of his own fields to Yehuda, let's call that field B, and Reuven now comes and takes field A that was stolen from him back from Levi. So if Levi created peyus and improvements to the kaka only after Yehuda bought field B, so certainly Yehuda couldn't protect himself and didn't know about the peyus or shvach ha-kais, and Levi can't collect the peyus or shvach ha-kais from Yehuda. However, if Levi already grew peyus and improved this land prior to Yehuda buying field B from Shimon, so since when Shimon sold field B to Levi, it was done with the shtar, so Yehuda should have known that Levi planted peyus and improved this land, and therefore field B is meshubet to Levi. And as the Gemara states, al meshubet lo kodumu, so we see the reason that our Mishnah states that field B is a meshubet to Levi is based on the order of events and based on the fact that Levi did not yet plant or improve the land prior to Yehuda the lekucha is buying field B. But if he would have previously improved the land, even if there was no ksiva and it wasn't a set and verifiable amount, his field would be meshubet to Shimon. And this is the way Rashi learns our Gemara. However, Ayin Tesis, who argues in Rashi, in the Maskel, al meshum loikodimu. And based on this brisa where we saw the Shita Rab Nasan, the Gemara states, Tanoi, that in the Chanami, there's actually Machlekes Tanoim. We had the Shita Rab Nasan, we also had the Shita of Ula and Rochnina, and Ula and Rochnina are going like the following Tanoim. The Tani was learned to brisa, a Matzin Lachil's Pirus, or Shvaka Kois, or Mazin Ishava Bonis, Minachasim and Shibodim, and Pray Tekan Oilam, which is exactly like the Mishnah stated. However, in the brisa, the Tanakame adds in the following three words, Lefish Ink Suvin, and that's exactly like Ula explained the Pshat and the Mishnah. And as Rashi explains, the Tikkun HaOlam is because it's not written, and therefore when Basel Litcher of Lekuchais, if you're going to go and try to collect on Lekuchais, at Milval Peh, even though it is only a Milval Peh, and it's not actually written in Shtar, Ein Lecha Adam Lekech Sadam Chaberi, then no one will be able to go and purchase a Sadam from their friend, Lefish Yar, because they're always nervous, Shem Yeshlav Milva, as maybe there's a lien against his Sadam. And the Brisa continues, Om Rabbi Yesi argued in the Tanakhama, he says, V'chimat Tikkun HaOlam Yesh Bezu, the Lemaisa, there's no requirement for Tikkun HaOlam, even if you don't write a document, there is a possibility that there will be a lien against a sada, and the only reason why we say that imitzin lachlus beirus l'shvach hakoyis l'mazin ishav abonis is because baloi in ktsuvim that these are not set and verifiable amounts that would have to be paid. As Rashi says, if baloi tikkun olam nami, even without a tikkun olam and out of din rabbanon in a din l'drayf, you can't go and be tayer for these items as the amounts are not verifiable and they're not set amounts. And of course, this din of Rabbi Yesi would sound exactly like the din of Rabbi Chanina, that the reason why you don't have any right to collect mishubadim is because in ketsuvim, and l'chayr from the words of Rabbi Yesi, we also see a raya to the second side of the aribayi at the bottom of datnun amabez, that according to Rabbi Chanina, all you need in order to collect from l'chasim mishubadim is that the item that is owed to you is something which is a set and verifiable amount, and even if it's not written in the shtar, there would still be a din that you could collect from l'chasim mishubadim. And keep in mind that Rashi seems to say that according to Rabbi Yesi, there is no tikkun olam that is required in the case of our Mishnah, but l'chayr our Mishnah says that mipnei tikkun olam, and Rabbi Chanina is coming to be mefarish on Mishnah. And based on this issue, Taisus explains Rabbi Yesi's Shita differently than Rashi. Ayin in Taisus, Dibe Maskel, V'chimat Tikkun HaOlam Yesh B'zeh, V'aloi in Ksuvim. And the Gemara continues and quotes from the last line of Mishnah, V'amayt Metziah Lo Yishavim Pnei Tikkun HaOlam, that if Reuven found something and he announced it, and then Shimon comes and says, I have a Simon, and the Simon is correct, Reuven gives the Metziah back to Shimon, and Shimon claims that I didn't have $100, but I had $200, and Reuven says, all I found is $100. So although generally there should be a din that Moedim Mixas is Yeshava, however, Bezim was concerned that if they required a person who found an Aveda to swear, then people will not be metapal with Avedis, and therefore, Mepnei Tikkun HaOlam, Bezim was Mesakin, that someone that found a Metziah does not have to swear, even if it's a case of Moedim Mixas. And the Gemara continues and brings three dinim from Rabbi Yitzchak. On Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak states, Shnei Kisin Kshurin Matzosali, if Shimon says to Reuven that you have found two Kisin, which are two wallets that were tied together, and he gives a simon to Reuven, and therefore Reuven is going to give back the kiss that he found. However, Lo Imer, Reuven states, Lo Mitzasi Ela Echad, I only found one wallet. In this case, Rabbi Yitzchak says, Nishba, that Reuven would actually have to swear to Shimon, and as Rashi says, Kenefarish Taima, as the Gemara will explain in a moment, Loi Menatche Me'adodi, as wallets will not be easily separated from each other. Therefore, as Rashi says, V'havli Tanosi Shilzeh, Tainas Bori, therefore Shimon's Tain is a Tainas Bori, Achrish Echmen Biadzeh, since Ruvain found one of his wallets, for a Hoidle B'mixas, and he was blamed to B'mixas. And Rabbi Yitzchak continues and teaches us a second in Shnei Shvarim, Keshur and Matzosli, if Shimon says that you found two oxen which were tied together, and that is what you found for me, and he gives him simonim, and Reuven says that I only found one, Ein Nishba, in this case Reuven will not have to swear, and the Gemara explains what is the difference between the first case and the second case, my timer, Shvarim Menatchim Adodi, that even if you tie Shvarim together, they pull apart ropes, and therefore they're easily separated from each other, and by the fact that you tied it, that you actually had two Shvarim, doesn't mean that Reuven found two Shvarim, and therefore your tain is only tain and shema, and therefore Reuven doesn't have to swear based on a tain and shema. However, kisin loy menatchim adadi, as we explained, that by wallets, when you tied them together, they would generally stay together, and therefore when Shimon claimed he had two wallets, that was the tainus bari, and therefore when Reuven said, I only found one wallet, so he has a din of moed mixas, and he has to make a shvur. And Rabbi Yitzchak continues with the third case, that even in a case with Shimon tainus shnei shvarim kashurim matzasa, that you found two of my shvarim as they were tied together, and even though that's a tainus shema, as they would generally be menachem adadi. However, lo imer, Reuven states, Matzasi, it is true, I did find two oxen, v'chzati l'cha echmen, however, I return one to you, harez enishba, in this case, Reuven will have to make a shua, as certainly at this point, that Reuven actually admitted that he found two of his oxen, so now when Shimon tainas that you found two of my oxen, he actually is tining a tainas bari, and therefore, Reuven is chayiv in shua, based on Maidav Mixas. And the Gemara continues, and yes, on the first and the last cases of Rabbi Yitzchak, how could Rabbi Yitzchak say that Reuven would have to make a shvua if he actually found this mitziah? And Rabbi Yitzchak lesley a mitzi mitziah lo yishavim pnei tikkun olam. Does Rabbi Yitzchak not hold of the concept that if someone finds a mitziah, he doesn't have to swear a shvua moedim mixas because of tikkun olam? As the chacham were nervous that people will not be metapel to deal with mitzias in the future, and they won't go and pick up any mitzias. And of course, there's also an issue involved of this lamtimem. And we continue on daf nun alef from the beis, and the Gemara answers who the amr kab lesben yakiv that in echnami Rabbi Yitzchak does not hold like a mishnah, and he holds like the Tana Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and as Rashi explains, the hechad the katavle b'tainas bari, that any time someone tainas a tainas bari lechoshvle meishav aveda, that is not a case of meishav aveda, and therefore the other person has to make a shvua. The Tanya, as we learned in the Brisa, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov ema, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov states, palm shadum nishbal tainas asbari, that can be a time where a person can swear the shvua of moed mixas even when he was the only one that made a taina, and there was no one that was tevea him. And Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov explains, ketzad, what is the case if Reuven goes over to the yorshim of Shimon and he states, that I have $100 that I owe to your father, the Chalter Pras, but I already returned half of it, Harez and Nishba, then the din is that Reuven would still have to swear to the Yorshim of Shimon, and he would make a shvua of Moedim Mixas, Vizel Shinishba, Tainis Atmai, and this is a case where Reuven would make a shvua, even though it's on his own Taina, and even though Shimon's Yorshim would never Tevei a Reuven. And the Brisa continues, Vechom states, Ein El Kamesh Vavedu Potter, and in this case, if Reuven wouldn't have said anything to Shimon's Yorshim, they would have had no idea that Reuven owed their father any money, and therefore, by the fact that Reuven was made to them, that he owes $100, and then he says, by paid $50, Reuven should not have to make any shvua because his Kamesh Aveda and Lachar is similar to a concept of a migui or to a Pesha Asu or Pesha Iter. And the Gemara will now go through this machlekes between Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and Chachamim and try to understand Pshat and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. And the Gemara states, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Lesley Meshav Aveda Potah, how could you think that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would not potter him when he's a Meshav Aveda? And Lachar in our Mishnah, we state that Meitzim Mitzia, Lo Yishava Mipre Tikkun Olam, and Lachar is certainly Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov should be made to this concept. And as Rashi says, it doesn't make sense that he wouldn't make such a takana, as if you don't have the takana, then there will be a problem in the world, as people will not go and return Avedis. And the Gemara answers, Rav explains that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said, Reuven has to swear, is Betoyin Ekotin, was not in a case where no one had a taina against him, and no one claimed that you owe our father $100, but Shimon Yershim, who were Ketanim, came and said to Reuven that you owe our father $100, and Reuven tainid that I only owe him $50. And in this case, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said, this is not a case of Meshav Aveda, and therefore Reuven is chayiv to make a shvua of Moedim Mixas. And the Gemara asked back to Rav that how can you tell me we're talking about a case where Katan was Tevei Reuven, but Katan meet the Mishashis Bey, even if it's true that the Katan would claim that Reuven owes $100 to their father? Of course, that would not be a taina at all, as he has no kayach taina since he's a Katan. But Tanan, Inish Boyan, Altainis Chereshat Vikatan, that there's no shvua required when there's a taina of Chereshat Vikatan, as that can't create a case of a Moedim Mixas, and you would still be considered a Meshav Aveda, and Reuven would still be potter from making a shvua. And the Gemara Gemara answers, my cotton, even though Rav said, betoine cotton, he didn't mean an actual cotton and went over to Reuven and said that you owe a father $100, but he's referring to a gadol, and the son of Shimon, who was already a gadol, went to Reuven and said that I know that you owe our father $100, and the Gemara is, for my curly cotton, so why is it that Rav calls this person a cotton if he was a gadol? The Lagabi mealed of a cotton, in the eyes of Shimon, he looks at any child of Reuven, even if that child is a gadol, as if that child is a cotton, and he doesn't look at it as if he can't go and be machish that child and lie to the child and say that I really don't owe your father $100, as we'll explain in a moment in the Gemara. And Gemara continues and asks that how can you say that this is a case that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and Chama are discussing if Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's lashon was pa'am mishadim nishbal tainis atzmai, and if there is a taina from a gadol, then how could you call it a tainis atzmai? As the Gemara says, the hachi tainis atzmai tainis achayim lechayim, it is a taina of another person, as the gadol is having a taina to Reuven they owe our father $100, and the Gemara answers tainis achayim v'idas atzmai ein echanami, the taina came from Shimon child, however the idah came out pi Reuven, and that's why Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov states that Reuven has to swear, and Rashi says al shahoydelo she'emes kedvarv, since Reuven was moided to Shimon's son that it's true what you said, that I borrowed $100 from your father, and because Reuven is moided that I still owe $50 to your father, therefore he has to make a shvua based on being moided of mixas. And the Gemara is that l'chayr, that still doesn't make sense in the lashon of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, as kul tanasa nami tainas achirim v'dos atzmininu, anytime you have a case of moided mixas, it's always the taina of someone else, that taina that you owe me $100, then the other party is always moided to part of that original taina, and he says, although I owe you part of the money, but part of the money I don't owe you, and that's why you have to swear. And therefore, why does Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov say, if every case is a case of Meidu Mixas, you're going to swear Tainas Atzmai, because we're calling that Tainas Achayim Veidus Atzmai. And finally, because of all these questions, the Gemara goes back and says that the case that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and Chum are arguing on is a case where Cotton came to Bezin and said that Reuven owes our father $100, and then Reuven was Meidu and said, it's true that I owed your father $100, but I already paid him $50, and therefore I only owe him an additional $50. And it's in this case that there's a machlekes between Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and the Rabbanon, and the Gemara explains, because Elabid Rabba Kamathli, the machlekes between Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and the Rabbanon is based on this din of Rabba, the Rabba, because Rabba stated, why is it that Torah states, Moedim Mixas Hatayna Yeshava, that if someone's Moedim Mixas, then he has to pay, and Lachari, the person who's Moedim Mixas, should be potter to make a shvua, because he should have a migul, that really I could have been Koyfa Kol. And Rabba explains that in the case of Moedim Mixas, Reuven actually does not have a migul, because Chazoka ain't on the Meir's Ponim of Flebal Choyvoy, that is a Chazoka, that if Reuven actually borrowed money from Shimon, then he wouldn't have the chutzpah to go and deny that he actually borrowed any money from Shimon. And really, Reuven wanted to be Koyfa Kol, and the reason why he wasn't Koyfa Kol is Mishum, the Ein Ad Meir's Ponim of Flebal Choyvoy, as he didn't have chutzpah to go and be Koyfa Kol right in front of the face of the Bal Choyv, and someone that lent him money and did him such a favor, over Kul Boy Delay. Really, Reuven desires to be Moida that he owes the entire amount to Shimon, and the reason why Reuven will not be Moida to the entire amount that he owes is Shtamute Hu Dekam Shtamutle, at least in part, he wants to delay the payment to Shimon, and therefore, Sava, he thinks, Adel Havaluzuze, friendly, certainly I will pay him back, and I want the Chutzpah not to pay him back. However, the Maisa, I'll pay him back at a later point. In order to prevent this, so we'll make Reuven swear that he actually doesn't owe any more money to Shimon, and this way, Reuven will be Moida to Shimon that he owes him the full $1,000. And Rashi explains what the Gemara is of a kulu boy delay. Really, the Gemara is asking a bit deeper and asking that Lachira, how can we say that he has to swear when he's Moida Mixas? If Lachira, we should have a svara to Migur the Chosha Amoina, since he's Chosha to lie about 50% of the money that he owes to Shimon, so Chosha Namish Vasa, so it should also be Chosha that maybe he would lie and he would swear falsely. And the Gemara answers, Amoina Le Chosha, really on Mammon he's not Chosha either, Midlai Kafri Bekulai, since he was not Kaifa Bakal, Nahai Ka'idu Bepalgo Bekulai Nami Boy Lady, really Reuven wanted to be Moida about everything. It's not because he wanted to steal from Shimon. Rashi. And the Gemara now continues and explains machlekes between Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and Rabbanon. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov sava loishna boy loishna mnoi ina meyos v'hilkach lav meishavedu, that this chazaka of ina meyos ponu b'fnei bal choyvoy is not only true when Shimon comes and tainas to Reuven that you owe me $1,000, and even if Shimon's son, who's a cotton, comes to Reuven and tainas that you owe my father $1,000, Reuven would not be koyfa kol in front of Shimon's son, and even though he's a cotton. Therefore, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds that since in this case the cotton actually had a taina to Reuven that you owe our father $1,000, so Reuven couldn't have been koyfa kol. We don't look at Reuven Kohen as a good guy and someone that's being Mesha Aveda, because Lamaisa he couldn't be Koifah Kol in front of Shimon's son, and that's why Reuven is Chayev to make a Shvua based on being a Maida B'Miksas. However, the Rabbanan argued on Rabbeinu Ben Yaakov and said in this case, where it was a Katan or a Gadol that actually said to Reuven that you owe a father $1,000, that Reuven would not have to make a Shvua, as Ein El Kamesh Vavedu Pato, and as the Gemara explains, Rabbanan Savri and Rabbanan hold, Boyhud Einam is that certainly Reuven would not have an Azar to be Koifah Kol from a Taina of Shimon. However, Alva Benoi to the children of Shimon, even if that child is a Gadol, Meiz, he would be Meiz Panov, Umadloi Meiz, and by the fact that he actually agreed to Shimon's child, that he still owes his father $50, Meshav Avedu, who we consider Reuven to be a Meshav Avedu, therefore we can't be Mechayev Reuven to make a Shvua based on being a Meid of Miksas, as he is a Meshav Avedu. And now that we understand the Machlekes between Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and Rabbanon, let us go back to the din of our Mishnah and to the din of Rabbi Yitzchak. So the Tan of our Mishnah stated, Meitzah Metziah Lo Yishavim Pnei Tikkun Olam, and the Tan of our Mishnah looks at a person that lost the Metziah and is going and claiming it from the person that found it as if he's a katan, because he doesn't really know exactly what happened over here, as even though he says they lost two wallets which were tied together and generally they don't come apart, but the Maisa certainly it's possible that they could come apart. Therefore, we look at the Taina of Reuven who's claiming that he had two wallets as if he's saying the Taina Shema, and the Tan of our Mishnah hold the Chachamim in the Brice of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov who hold in El Kamesha Avedu Pato, that Lamaisa when Shimon is returning this item to Reuven, it's considered as if he's a Mesha Aveda, as we don't consider Reuven's Taina a significant Taina, and therefore it was really possible for Shimon to be Koifah Kol, and by the fact that he wasn't Koifah Kol, we're not going to go and be Mechayev and Meshvuah, as that's the standard case of Mesha Aveda. However, Yitzchak and Braisa agrees to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov that in the case where Reuven Taina is that I lost two wallets, and the Taina is that they were tied together, and generally wallets would not separate from each other, so therefore his Taina to Shimon is a Taina's Bari, and therefore there's a Chazaka that Inon Amei is Panam B'Fnei Bal Choyvai, and in this case Shimon would not have the chutzpah to go and deny that he found anything, and that's why he agreed, I found one wallet, but Lamaisa we don't consider him a Meshav Aveda, and therefore he's Chayiv to make a Shvua, Meidav Miksas, and we will stop over here.